Let's read Luke 5:27-28. And ask the Lord's blessing on our time in His Word. After that, he, Jesus, went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Father, two simple, straightforward verses today from your word, encompassing a very simple, straightforward call from your lips. Follow me. I ask you to help me preach this today. Help us all to study your word today, to hear your word today, to respond to your word, to your call today. We as your people truly want to answer you when you call. Our hearts are turned to you for this. They have been turned to you for this by your Holy Spirit. And so now we ask you to keep our hearts turned to you by your Holy Spirit, so that we can take up your word and live out your word, so that we can respond to your call and live out your call for each of us, wherever you have us in life. So be glorified in this, Father, as you lift up our Lord Jesus in front of us today. In his name we pray. Amen. We are back to our study of Jesus according to Luke, the good news of this great physician, the great physician. In the next few messages, we will look at Jesus' calling of Levi and his confrontation of legalism. That is going to stand out front and center in this particular passage of Scripture. It's something that we will come back to often in Luke, Jesus' confrontation with the legalism of his day. But for right now, there will be a very strong emphasis on it. We will go from Jesus' encounter with this tax collector to his encounter with the religious elites in that day and time. We know them as the Pharisees and scribes, particularly how he riled them up by his association with tax collectors and sinners. We will look closely at his responses to their judgmental legalism. As we begin today, I want you to think about something. It's something that we can't get away from in Scripture. We will, in one way or another, keep coming back to it because the Scriptures keep bringing us back to it. Think carefully and honestly about what right Jesus has to your life, to you, to the stuff of your life, to your position in life, to that place right now that you occupy in what you call your life. What right do you deep down believe Jesus has to you right where you are today? What demands does Jesus have the right to make of you? What right does Jesus have to interrupt and quite literally redirect your entire life just in an instant if he sees fit? I mean, we all tend to have a path projected for how our lives are supposed to go. We very naturally settle into that projection. I mean, it starts very early on. They're asking in school, our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? They start pressing on them by the time they get toward the end of their high school years, and even earlier, really, but they start pressing on them to really have it down by the time they start college. Have an idea of what you want to do with your life. So we tend to have this mentality that we need to have a plan, we need to have a projection, we need to get on a path and we need to follow it, we need to stick to it, persistence pays off. Well, what right does Jesus have to step in a given moment, in a given instant, and completely rewrite everything? Where do we really believe he has the place to do that? Do we really believe he has the place to do that? To what extent do we believe he has the right to do that? Do you look at stories like that of Levi, like we are going to look at today, and see a lack of connection with what Jesus wants for and from you? Do you see a connection or a lack of connection? When we study these stories, we must make sure to avoid two errors, to not do two things. We must not distort stories like this to mean something, to mean for us something they're not intended to mean, to mean something that God never intended. We must not do that. But then on the other hand, we must also not disconnect these stories from us for them to mean for us nothing at all. And unfortunately, we find both extremes in the church. Stories like this are either distorted to mean something not intended, or they're disconnected to not mean anything at all. It's just something that happened back then and doesn't really mean a whole lot for us today. The way Jesus called Levi and the way Levi responded have direct bearing on the way Jesus calls us and the way we respond. We look at this under 2 points today. Jesus' authoritative call and Levi's immediate response. There is something for us here to walk away from, to walk away with in walking away from the story today. First, we look at Jesus' authoritative call. Verse 27, look at it again. After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, simple, two words, follow me. After healing the paralytic, Jesus went out into the town, and somewhere along the way, we don't know exactly where, Luke doesn't tell us, his gaze locked on a tax collector collecting taxes in his tax booth. Now, I'll have more to say on tax collectors in the next message, Lord willing. But part of the taxes went to Rome and part went into his pocket. Rome was in charge. They were the ruling nation at this time, and they employed these tax collectors to take the taxes from the people, and the tax collectors made their living by this. So part of the taxes went to Rome, part of the taxes went into their pockets for their own income. So this is what this man was about today, on this given day. He was going about his tax collecting business when Jesus comes along and locks his gaze on him. Jesus locked his gaze and his will on Levi. He wanted Levi to be one of his followers. That was his determination. Jesus' determination. I want that man. So he walked through or around however many people were gathered or lined up in front of Levi's tax booth into Levi's line of sight, making sure that Levi could see him and hear him over everybody else, and said these two words that changed Levi's life forever. Follow me. I want you to think about something. Jesus did not appeal to Levi with a question. He did not step up to Levi and say, "Will you follow me?" did he? There was no question in it. There was no uncertainty in it. There was no stress on Levi's decision. It was simply straightforward call, follow me. Jesus did not offer Levi a condition. He did not say to him, "If you will follow me, fill in the blank." He did not try to negotiate with him. Did not try to offer him some kind of package deal based upon which Levi could weigh his options. "Well, if I follow Jesus, this is what I'll get. If I stay here, this is what I'll get. Where are my pros and my cons?" Yet, putting it this way might rub us the wrong way, but here's what it comes down to. Jesus ordered Levi with a commanding call, "Follow me." It was an order. Jesus' intent was clear. Now and from now on, follow me. It was present tense, ongoing. It was an imperative. Follow me now, follow me from now on. What audacity if that had come from anyone else? What audacity that would have been coming from anyone else to step into this busy man's busy day, interrupt his business, and say to him, "Hey, get up from what you're doing and follow me right now." Anybody else would have gotten a look like they were crazy and been escorted probably right on back out the way they came in. Who do you think you are? Would have been their response. It would have been very audacious coming from anyone else. But Jesus is not anyone else, is he? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Something we have seen a lot of leading up to this point in Luke, something we will continue to see a lot of going on from here into the rest of Luke. Jesus is Lord. He's not anyone else. He doesn't ask negotiating questions. He doesn't offer negotiating conditions. He is Lord. He speaks as Lord. He calls as Lord. And he called Levi as Levi's Lord. Now let's look at Levi's immediate response. Verse 28. "And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him." We keep running into this, don't we? Yet another abandoned all in answer to Jesus' call. We've seen it before. And here we see it again. What do you think changed in Levi's heart for him to leave behind his lucrative business in an instant? In an instant, in a split-second decision. There was nothing leading up to this that we know of, at least not that Luke clues us into. As far as we can tell, this was just a moment when a man is going about his usual business. He has a plan. He's following the plan. He's persisting in the plan. And Jesus steps in that moment and changes everything. But something had to change in Levi's heart, didn't it? For him to drop that whole business, not just for that moment, but forever, to go with Jesus in that moment. He knew Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He had to understand this meant going on the road with Jesus. A major change in lifestyle. So what changed in his heart? He didn't ask for time to think about it. He didn't ask Jesus to let him finish his day. He dropped it all right there and then. He left the paperwork. He left the money. He left anyone that might have been working for him. He left everything behind. Why? Because in Jesus' call, he heard Jesus saying to him, "Turn from your old life to me and trust me." And he knew that the only way to go forward, the only way to go forward with Jesus was to leave the tax booth behind. He knew that the only way to go forward with Jesus was to leave the tax booth and everything that the tax booth represented for him behind. There was no other way it could be in that moment. He understood that. This was a watershed moment for Levi's life, and he understood that. In an instant, he saw the fork in the road. Where so many people, every day, are blazing by the fork in the road, Levi saw it and hit the brakes on his life and took the fork. That's what changed. He could have given the same testimony as Paul. You've read it many times. You've heard it many times in preaching, I know. But we have to keep coming back to it in one way or another. What Paul says must be what we all can say. It's what Levi could say in that moment, I am convinced. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. That is the Christian's testimony. That's not Paul's testimony. That's the Christian's testimony. However we word it, whether we word it exactly the way Paul worded it or not, that is the Christian's testimony. Everything is lost to be left behind in order to gain Christ. That's what changed for Levi. In reference to 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17, Levi was no longer living for himself, but for Jesus. That's what changed for Levi. Levi was not seeing Jesus with the eyes of the flesh, but with new eyes as a new man with a new life. That's what changed for Levi. Many people, like to think that Jesus leaves them in charge of what they do for him. I've heard it over and over and over again. We don't have to all look alike. My walk with Jesus doesn't have to look like your walk with Jesus. And there's a sense in which that is true. When we start talking about different gifts and different places in life, when we start talking about different vocations and how God calls us to different places in ministry, that's true. We're not cookie cut. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about when I've tried to share the gospel, tried to share what it means to repent and put your faith in Christ, what the Christian life is supposed to look like according to Scripture. Over and over again, I've heard in one way or another, just to boil it all down to one statement, my walk with Jesus doesn't have to look like yours. And the point is, they think that he leaves it up to them. They like to think that he leaves them in charge of what they do for him. They like to think that he is happy to let them set the courses of their lives as long as they include him. They really are ignoring his call. His command, follow me. Follow me. He's not following us. And that's where we all tend to want to go with him, that he's going to go along with us. Boy, that appeals to something in us so strongly. That Jesus would let me decide what I do for him. That Jesus will let me decide what my life looks like for him. That he's never going to take from me something I want, and he's never going to deny me getting something I want. He's going to follow me. When it's just the opposite. We must follow him. And that cuts against our flesh. We who have turned to our own way. That cuts against our flesh. But Jesus always holds out that call. And really what it comes down to is we either obey or rebel, right? We either obey or we rebel. There's no neutrality. Peter, James, and John understood their choice to obey or rebel. Think back to verses 10 and 11 in Luke 5. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You know, at face value, that seems like that was their voluntary act. He says, "I'll make you fishers of men." And they say, "Well, I guess we'll leave everything behind and follow him then." Like it was, it could appear on the surface like it was just what they decided to do. No, they heard him say in what he told them he would make them do. He heard them say, "Follow me." And they understood. We obey or we rebel. And Levi understood his choice to obey or rebel. So he left the tax booth behind. Leaving the tax booth was not just about Levi quitting his job. Please don't make that all you hear in this message. So many times when a message like this is preached, people just automatically jump to the geographical or the circumstantial. I don't want to move. I don't want to quit my job. I don't want to change my lifestyle. That's not all that this was about. You know, Jesus did not require all tax collectors to quit collecting taxes. Levi was not the only tax collector that was saved. Remember, John the Baptist, when he was out in the wilderness baptizing with a baptism of repentance in the Jordan River, he had some tax collectors show up. Luke tells us about them in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." They didn't have to quit their jobs. They had to change the way they were doing their jobs. But they didn't have to quit their jobs. That's not all this is wrapped up in. So leaving the tax booth was about Levi quitting his old life. That's what was ultimately going on here. The change in his vocation was unique to him. But that change in his life was not. That's where it has bearing on us. That's where the transaction, the interchange between Jesus and Levi bears on us. The change in vocation was unique, but the call and the response were not. We're so prone to want to stay put. We all are. We're so prone to set up our tax booths and just want to plant and stay put right there. Like Levi, we need to get up. We need to be willing to get up and go on with Jesus, getting on with our new life in following Jesus. That's what is here for us to take away from this today. Leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Now there's a point for this in salvation and a point for this in sanctification. The point for this in salvation is that Jesus says, "Follow me in repentance and faith." Nobody can come to the Lord, can go to the Father, can be assured of their place in heaven without answering the call of Christ, "Follow me. Follow me in repentance and faith. Turn from that old life and turn to me and put all your trust in me for what I can do for you to make you right with the Father." That's for salvation. But there's also the call to follow him in sanctification. It's ongoing. It's never ending. We go through different seasons. We go through different situations in life. Christians are not immune to tragedies. Christians are not immune to weaknesses. Christians are not immune to illness. Christians are not immune to those major shifts in life that completely redefine who we are and where we're going. And sometimes those are not just things that seem to happen in the natural course of life. Sometimes those are things God deliberately brings on us. And we need to understand that in those moments, whether it seems to be a something that happens in the natural course of life, or it seems to be just something out of left field that we never could have predicted, in that moment, as Christians, Jesus is always standing in front of us and saying, follow me. Follow me through this. Stay true to me. Abide in me. You know, we're going to see later on down the road that Levi and the rest of the disciples had some hard times on the road with Jesus. I believe this was the moment when Levi was saved. I also believe this was the moment when he understood that from this moment of being saved, all through the rest of his sanctification, he was going to hang on to this call from Jesus. Follow me. It was not just for then, it would be from then on. And so it is for us today. We had to hear the call when we're saved, and now we must hang on to the call in being sanctified. I leave you with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross for our sakes, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Leave behind those encumbrances. Leave behind those sins. And set your eyes on Jesus and follow him. Let's pray. Lord, lead us. I don't know how well I captured this moment between you and Levi in this message, but Lord, ultimately it's up to your Holy Spirit to write your word on our hearts. And I pray, Lord, lead us. We hear you. We hear your call. We see it on the page. We hear it in our hearts as you say to us, follow me. I don't know what we must leave behind. I don't know that for each of us, but whatever it is, going on with you, gaining you, is worth far more than anything we do leave behind. So take us on with yourself. Lead us on where you will. Have us where you will, when you will, doing what you will. All for the glory of the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.